There's something wrong with this picture.
Very clearly.
Why are people willing to go along with this or unaware of it? How do they manage to explain that or keep people subservient to it?
Just to use the same example, this is at the Royal Bank of Canada, and it's a business loan. And they were going to loan him $1.1 million as an operating loan for his business, but in return, he had to give them $2 million worth of security instruments so that they've got double coverage for their so-called loan. And they used that paper, kicked it right back to them, and they charged him an upfront fee of $10,000 for the privilege. They called it a loan arrangement fee. Okay, now, on the back of that, the very last clause of this long contract says, you agree that this is privileged information and you will not discuss these terms or this offer with any other entity out there in society except your lawyer or your accountants. See, what they do is they isolate you and they treat the information as privileged because there are so many criminal provisions in this contract that they don't want you going to your neighbor and comparing notes, so to speak. It's all coordinated through the Canadian Bankers Association. Under the United States system, it's the Federal Reserve laws and the same thing, but it's all the same scam. You have to have taxes in order to balance the fact that you've given away the money creation process. In the United States, the federal government gave it away to the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor reserves, because they haven't got either, and it's a private corporation. In Canada, you've got five major private corporations called chartered banks, the Big Five, and these entities have been surreptitiously given the right to effectively scoop the government's gain or seigniorage on the creation of money in our society.
Now, the U.S. Constitution stipulates quite clearly that lawful money is gold and silver. Is there a comparable document in the Canadian system?
We have what's called the Currency Act. It says certain coins and notes, but I'm not aware of any specific parallel in the Canadian system, and it is notable by its absence. We used to, up until I think it was 1938, when they got rid of the specific gold content requirement. It's easy to see why this is so important. In 1973 or 74, the United States went off the gold standard. Now, you may recall that. It was a big hullabaloo at the time. Now, the reason they did so was because the official price of gold was pegged at $35 an ounce U.S. And at that time, there was a 4-to-1 ratio out there. The Federal Reserve System is the sort of currency printer to the world. They found that they could just print money and export it to buy goods and services overseas, and the money would never come back into the United States because the people would keep it overseas and use it as their own currency. So there was this constant river of notes going offshore from the United States, and by 1974, it had reached a 4-to-1 ratio. In order for the actual number of notes in circulation to be redeemed for gold, the price of gold would have had to have been $140 an ounce.
Based on the gold reserves that the United States
had. Based on, exactly. Now, by 1995, according to the Institute for the Return of the Gold Standard or something like that, it's an outfit out of Ottawa, they said that as of 1995, in order to redeem the total number of notes in circulation, the price of gold would have had to have been $45,000 an ounce. Okay? So that's the kind of hyperinflation we are, in fact, living under. It's just incredible. And by 2002, you're probably looking after the hyperinflation of the 1990s through the stock market and, you know, these incredible gains, literally trillions of dollars. You're looking at easily $500,000 to $1 million an ounce if they were to actually redeem all of the debt obligations out there that are denominated in Federal Reserve notes.
So this leads me to the question which always comes up at some point, and I've never heard a complete answer on it. I don't know if there is one. Is there any sense at all, given that situation which you described, on considering going back to the gold standard with gold and silver as being the base for the money? Or is it so far out of balance that one has to really start fresh?
Well, obviously, you'd have to have some kind of an adjustment factor. But it's always a good idea to return to value. See, you never pay debts. You only discharge them. When you write a check, the bank doesn't actually pay Bob if you write a check to Bob. It's just the bank now owes Bob instead of you owing Bob. And then Bob writes a check to John, and now the bank owes John money. It works like this. And so that you never actually get rid of it. Now, even when you're paying in currency in Canada, you're not really paying in substance, gold and silver. You're saying, okay, now the government of Canada owes you $20 or $100 or whatever sort of a note you get from the Bank of Canada. So if you take a $100 bill to the Bank of Canada, they'll give you another $100 bill. They won't give you anything that is intuitive or inherently valuable.
So it's debt for debt.
It's debt purely. For debt, exactly. Every last dime of money in circulation in the world today is debt money. You know, you can come up with bizarre exceptions like, okay, there are maple leaf coins, there are gold Krugerrands and that, but substantially all money is debt, debt liabilities. And just to give you sort of a concrete example, the whole system started in 1693 with the Bank of England. And they started with 2.5 million US dollars, 500,000 pounds, which were sterling, which was equivalent at that time to what would be 2.5 million US dollars. Now, if you follow that curve and you assume that they're charging 6% per annum, which is about the rate at which the technological development will expand to accommodate the increase in the debt, like we're manufacturing more chairs at the rate of 6% per annum, which is why you never really figure out what's going on. And so 108 years later, 107 years later, in the year 1800, if this was actually happening, then it's about a 400-fold increase. And if you actually plot this, it's true, it works out. There would be approximately $2 billion worth of total debt obligations as of the year 1800. And in fact, that's what actually was the case. 100 years later, in 1900, if you do the math, they spent on World War I, $250 billion U.S. dollars. And so this $480 billion, I think it was, total money in circulation is not unreasonable. It does happen. If that mathematical function has continued as it has at 6% to the year 2000, then there will be out there $166 trillion worth of debt. Now, based on $166 trillion of debt, if you assume that the interest is accruing at 6% per annum, then we collectively around the world, just in order to keep the debt from getting any larger tomorrow, to satisfy today's interest obligation, we have to produce from scratch and deliver to the banking system 2 million automobiles worth $20,000 apiece. Okay? And just to give you an idea, the whole global output of automobiles and light trucks is about 35 million units a year. And we have to come up with 2 million new ones a day just to pay the interest and to keep it from getting any larger. If, in fact, as is the case, the wheels fell off the 6% wagon in 1974 when they removed the gold standard. Remember, we're always digging new gold under the ground, too, and it never really disappears. And so if the creation of purchasing power through the monetization of paper and assets, the way that it's been going on since 1974, has in fact been 20% per annum, which is what I suspect, and I think it's about 23, but let's just say it's 20, then the total amount of debt money out there is not $166 trillion. It is $5 quadrillion. That's 5,000 trillions. Just do the math and figure out how many automobiles we have to deliver a day. The entire global output of light trucks and cars, 35 million units, we have to build from scratch every day in order to pay the interest obligation on that amount of debt.
In other words, it is unthinkable and impossible.
Precisely.
For additional information on this topic, go to your online resource center at www.pqionline.cc, click on Products and Solutions, and go to Disc Number 9.